Welcome to Home But Not Alone with Tim and Sarah, where we talk about real life as a stay-at-home Catholic parent. If it's noon and you're still in your pajamas, have reheated your coffee 3 times and tried to pray but got distracted, this is the place for you. Life is crazy, but through it all, remember, you're never alone. You've got God's grace and our friendship coming your way.
Today on Home But Not Alone, we're gonna have a battle. Who would win in a fight? A stay-at-home mom or a stay-at-home dad? Just kidding, we're not fighting, but we are going to take a look at our unique experiences and see just what's different and what's maybe surprisingly not so different between being a stay-at-home mom and a stay-at-home dad. Today, we want to thank our sponsor, My Little Patron, and you can find My Little Patron at mylittlepatron.com. We'll throw some links in the show notes. There's a few different places you can find her amazing products, but we'd love to share those with you today. Hey, Tim.
Hey, Sarah. Real quick, I got to tell you. So earlier today, I had stuff to get done. And so I was like, okay, I'm turning on The Sound of Music for my 3-year-old. She's never seen it. And this is going to be groundbreaking for her. And yeah.
And she was really nice and long.
Oh my gosh, I didn't realize how long it was till all of a sudden the intermission part popped up, or the interlude.
And yes, she's it's like, a good long movie for a tough day.
Yes, and she's like, Dad, what's this? And I'm like, this is something from 80 years ago. This is something they don't do anymore unless it's like, just, oh. Because
you know what else has an intermission? Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Does it really? I didn't know that. I haven't seen that.
It's another good long one, yeah.
They won't do that with movie theaters anymore, with movies anymore, because movie theaters don't want 3+ hour movies, because then they can show fewer showings, which means less money. So they don't like anyway. But here's what I wanted to really bring up from that.
Yeah, go ahead.
While Maria is walking down the aisle getting married to the captain, the song the sisters are singing, and I don't think this is for the wedding, but it's for the movie, is how do you solve a problem like Maria? And my thought is, what, marry her off? Like, what do you mean? Like, that's not a good song to play while someone is walking down the aisle. Like, as if marriage is she drove us nuts. Marry her off to that captain guy. Problem solved. Like, I don't know. That really struck me.
Was that like the first time that connection hit you? Like, that's the same song they sing at the beginning of the story, right?
It is the same song they sing at the beginning, but I don't think I've seen the movie in like, I don't know, 10 years. I didn't watch a lot of Sound of Music as of somebody in my 20s, as an unmarried man, just, you know, hanging.
Like, that's true, right? You don't just watch Sound of Music like in your spare time.
I mean, I love musicals, but I just had to bring that up, that I thought that is the worst song to walk down the aisle. I mean, not the worst, but it's up there. Anyway.
I could probably think of this one.
Oh, gosh. Comedian Tim Hawkins has a whole bit. Songs you shouldn't play at weddings, and oh, they're hilarious.
Can I tell you what Elisa sent me in the mail?
Yes, please.
So Elisa is the creator at My Little Patron, and she sent me a couple really cute things in the mail. So she sent me, she has these vinyl stickers. It's like a whole set of vinyl stickers. So she sent me Joan of Arc. So it's Saint Joan of Arc, and it's this beautiful vinyl sticker. It's like almost as big as my hand here. And then it has some little mini vinyl stickers around it. Like, it has some little extra fleur-de-lis. Oh, she's got this little extra sword here. My kids are going to love putting this on. I'm not sure what they're going to put it on. I need to make sure they don't stick it to the wall or something, but I'll let them put it on something because they love stickers. And so these are super cute vinyl stickers. And she has a bunch of these in her shop at mylittlepatron.com. Vinyl stickers for the different saints. I like the vinyl stickers because we like to put them on our water bottles so that, you know, we can easily tell whose water bottle is whose because it has your favorite vinyl stickers on it. So go ahead.
That's
smart. It's like my favorite thing, because if you buy the cheap, you can buy on Amazon these cheap, like, plain metal water bottles. I buy these white ones, and then you can put whatever stickers on it to personalize it, and it's a lot cheaper than buying like a cool water bottle, I guess. You buy the stickers and you personalize your own water bottle. So yeah, I love my vinyl stickers. You know what else I do with vinyl stickers? I put them on my can jam.
On your what?
Can jam. That frisbee game with the cans where you throw the frisbee in the cans.
I have no idea what that is.
Are you even a millennial? Who are
Barely. You? Barely. I'm right at the end of, I'm right at the tip of
millennial. Yeah, no, like you're my husband's age and my older brother, you're all the same age. Like you should know your Frisbee.
Yeah, but I also didn't have a lot of friends, so,
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry sad. You didn't get your worth of Frisbee in college. This was like all I did in college. I was not very good at it, but that's what I did. So now
you weren't very good at the Frisbee thing or at college.
Yeah, because... ultimate Frisbee. No, I was good at college. I was not good at, well, okay, ultimate Frisbee. I cannot throw to save my life, but man, I can catch. And I will risk my life to catch that Frisbee and get that point in that end zone. Not my actual life, but I have gotten injured from like serious dives. Anyways, we're talking about Ultimate Frisbee and we're supposed to be talking about My Little Patron. She also sent me several of these holy cards. They're really cute little holy cards. They're bigger than like a normal holy card. They're more like, I don't know, they're really cute, but I have one. It's St. Elizabeth of the Visitation. Oh my goodness, it is so adorable. It has Mary and Elizabeth here and both of them you can see like, there's like a little illustration of a tiny baby right over their tummy. It's so adorable. We have Our Lady Seat of Wisdom. And that's really cool. I love like the fancy halos she puts on all her saints. They're super cute. And then we have St. John Bosco here. He is actually the patron saint of our homeschool. So I love anything about St. John Bosco. He is the best. But she has a ton of these holy cards as well up on her site. Check her out at My Little Patron. She's got so many amazing things. She's got the rosary. She's got the like books and coloring books you mentioned last time. And she has a lot of printables for like the liturgical year, liturgical living, coloring pages. They're amazing. So My Little Patron, that's our sponsor today. Should we fight?
Grr.
Okay.
I don't know. Yeah. Okay. All right. So stay-at-home mom, what is something you think is unique to being a stay-at-home mom as opposed to a stay-at-home dad?
Okay, a stay-at-home mom instead of like a stay-at-home dad. So what is different for me? Okay, so I'm just gonna have to guess something. Let's see. I would guess that I make the dinners and your wife still makes the dinners and you don't make the dinners.
You know what? That's an okay guess. Because sometimes I do make dinner. But she is far more of the, here's a recipe off Pinterest. Let's make sure we have all the ingredients one. And
you're the grilled cheese guy.
I'm the grilled cheese, make some mac and cheese, heat up some veggies. Now here's the thing. I made a homemade pasta sauce the other day, and I did it with my wife at work, and I've made some really good garlic parm chicken and stuff like that. It usually comes with my wife coming up with a recipe and then explaining it to me. So,
well, and I'm totally stereotyping here because like I even like my sister-in-law is a stay-at-home mom and my brother, you know, he loves to cook. So I'm just totally stereotyping, but that was the first stereotype that came to my head.
Sure.
How about you? So as a stay-at-home dad, how would you, you know, say that the things that you do are different from what you might expect me to do as a stay-at-home mom?
Well, one thing I think is a little different is, you know, traditionally dad goes to work and then he comes home and then he does yard work. Mom less often does, whereas I'm the stay-at-home parent, but I am also responsible for most of the yard work, really all of the yard work, and most of the home maintenance in terms of attempting to fix things. I was going to say fixing things, but I don't want to give myself credit where I don't deserve it. But sometimes,
yeah, I don't mow the lawn. Sometimes I mow the lawn, but then it's like I'm home alone mowing the lawn and what the heck are my children doing?
Yeah.
Like if my husband is home and the lawn needs to be mowed, he'll mow the lawn. So yeah, I would say that differs. stay-at-home mom.
So, and for me, it's like, you know, we've talked about this before, but I'm the dad, you know, there'll be the dad who will go to work and then come home, and then he goes out and does, you know, the necessary yard work. And no disrespect to that dad. Those dads are doing a great job. But for me, my wife comes home, and then instead of it being like, oh, she's going to go out and cut the grass, it's like, no. Hey, you're home. Cool. I'm going outside to do that. And so that ends up being my sort of break, if you will. And
yes. Yeah. You go be with the kids, right? And then I'll go mow the lawn. Yeah. That makes sense. I'm just not, we have like a little hill in the back. It's not even a big hill. It's a little hill. I'm just not strong enough to push the mower up the hill. I'm pathetic. So yeah, my husband does it almost all of the time. But like that's your like quiet time. And I mean, have my quiet time, it just looks different. My husband watches a movie with the kids at night and I take a bath, so that's different quiet time.
Absolutely. But I think that's one of those ways where being a stay-at-home dad versus being a stay-at-home mom is different in that. I mean, yeah, I know there are moms out there who cut the grass or who do yard work or who do whatever, but typically...
Oh, yeah, Cameron Fradd, you know, like Matt Fradd and Cameron Fradd. I've been listening to her podcast lately, and she and Matt talk about how she does, like, the repairs around the house, because if Matt did them, he'd mess everything up.
Oh, my gosh. I've heard them talk about how she does the finances and everything. He won.
So everyone is different, so... Everyone's different.
When he married up, he definitely, I like him a lot. He married up. I met him once. He's very nice, but
that's cool.
He married up, but so did I, to be fair. I married way. Yeah.
Your wife is awesome.
Here's another. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. We could do 18 episodes just on things that are awesome about my wife. If I had the free time, I would start an entirely separate podcast to talk about how awesome my wife is.
That is funny. All right. Give us another thing that you think, stay-at-home mom versus stay-at-home dad. What's different?
So I think people seem to expect less out of a dad, especially when it comes to knowing what's going on with the kids. I still feel like when I take my kids somewhere, unless it's somewhere we go regularly, people give me the look almost like, well, at least he has them and they're still alive. Like, you know, it's not necessarily dad's got the kids. It's kind of a, you know, well, I guess there was no monkey available to watch the kids kind of thing. Like, that's almost...
Well, like, this, I feel like this goes back to what we were talking about in the Inappropriate Things episode. Inappropriate Things people say to parents, like, that the attitude that dad is babysitting the kids. Is that what you find? Like, people look at you that way?
I think so. And on one hand, I like it because then I get away with a lot more. And I'm like, what am I going to do? Like, you know, I don't know what I think I know their names. Like, you know, but just those sorts of things, that it's kind of a nice thing to be like, hey, this is stressful. I'm with my kids. There's a lot going on. It's a busy day. Yeah. And strangers expect nothing of me. All right, cool. That's great. But the sad thing about it is, strangers should expect a lot of me. I'm a dad. Like, it's sad that we have this whole like idea that fathers are, you know, secondary parents. And I think I have more of an opportunity for evangelization than a lot of mothers, because I go out of my way to tell people that I'm a stay-at-home dad. It catches them by surprise, like, oh, that's something that's happening. But I feel like it normalizes this, and it reminds people being a dad is not this secondary parent thing. It's not a you babysit and you go off and you work your job and you, like, that's all you do. Being a dad is something you do. If you are a dad, you are a primary educator and raiser of your children. So I think that's a nice opportunity to remind people what fatherhood really is. But I don't know.
Yeah. That's awesome. Okay, here's one. Let me know what you think of this. I think as a stay-at-home mom, I carry a lot of the mental load. Like, this, what is going on, the scheduling, knowing when people have to be where, knowing our whole schedule in and out, who's coming over for dinner. And I wonder if you carry that same mental load, like being the stay-at-home dad and the one with your kids all the time, or if that's just more of like a woman thing, like the way that women organize our brains.
It's not me. It's not me.
So like your wife still like has the whole schedule set, like she's the scheduler.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
110%. To the point where if she puts something on the calendar or forgets to put something on the calendar, and I look at this calendar every day because I'm like, she's got it. She's got it all organized. She's got it all planned out, all taken care of. And I look at it and then something changes and I'm like, I don't know how to handle this. Like, what am I going to do? I'll text her from home and be like, hey, you changed something. And she's like, oh yeah, something accidentally got deleted. I had to put it back. And I was like, oh, like what? Yeah. And you know, I feel in those moments a little helpless. One, because her brain is just better for handling those things. I don't know right. if it's a woman thing or what it is, but for me, I am better at, gosh, I mean, I always joke about the fact that she has a nurse brain, and I don't even try to remember medical stuff because she just retains all of it. And I'm sitting there like, do I have any allergies? Like, you know, I try to bring her to appointments because I'm like, I know I'm an adult, but I have no idea what's going on. And she speaks the language of the people who are there.
So you bring her with you to doctor's appointments. I was just telling my husband that I need him to come with us next time we make a doctor's appointment, because we have four kids now and our doctor is an hour away because we didn't like the doctors who were near us. We needed sure. doctors who were more, you know, on board with the way that we want our health taken care of. Anyways, they won't let me schedule all four kids at the same time.
Oh.
And I was like, but we're an hour away. I promise we won't skip our appointment. And they won't. They're like, you can schedule three at a time, but not four. I'm like, are you kidding me? But, like, how does that make any difference? But they're like, well, if you bring someone with you, we can schedule all four of them. So now, like, my husband's going to have to take a day off of work to come up. I mean, I guess I can just not be a baby and I can make two separate appointments, but then there's a whole nother day that I lose. Like, I feel like I lose an entire day driving an hour to bring my kids to the doctor. But anyways, yeah, so he's going to have to come to the doctor with us now because we can't schedule four kids at a time.
Well, you're going to bring your husband for a completely different reason, but I think that's funny that we both
want to do that. But it's still like a scheduling problem, right? It's okay, now you're going to have to take a day off because we're going to have to schedule this. So.
Oh, and we need to see doctors who it's like, guess what? We're bringing chaos with us.
Yeah, it's for just, real. You
know, going to happen. And anytime we've been to a doctor where they're like, these people, or these littles running around destroying everything despite your best efforts. It's like, yeah, we live out our vocation. What do you want from me? Like, you know, that's what it is. But then there are doctors we've been to who are like, yay, they're back. And I'm like, you want to keep them? Like, you know, your level of excitement is.
Here's another really one. Hard. Okay. Here's one I just thought of.
Yes.
It just popped out of my head. all right. We had that episode on inappropriate. Oh, and there's another one. I thought another one after this. The episode on inappropriate things people say to parents. And I think that you had mentioned, like, correct me if I'm wrong, that you feel like people are more likely to say something rude and obnoxious to your wife when she's out with the kids by herself than to you when you're out with the kids by yourself. Like, do you find that? Because I've had friends who say, you know, similar things, that when the wife is out with a lot of kids, or the mom or whatever, is out with a lot of kids, people are more willing to say those rude things, but they're not so willing when the dad, I don't know. I guess I don't even know why I brought up that generalization, because people don't usually say mean things to me. But what do you think about that?
Sure. No, well, I think that all ties back into the low expectations of fathers is, in fact, Catholic apologist Trent Horn, he was just talking about that not too long ago. He and his wife have two kids. And when he has the kids out, nobody says anything, but even just with two kids, his wife will take them out and people will make comments about how she has so many kids. And
oh, my goodness. I love the story he tells where he drove back, like his wife came home and he drove to the grocery store like to yell at the cashier who gave his wife a hard time. That is so funny. He didn't do it at the end, but that was such a funny story.
he was smart. He decided not to cause the problem. Yes. Like, no, that's, you know, so. But as he's telling that story, all I could think was, oh, my gosh, this is exactly what I would do. This is exactly the last time someone was super rude to my wife because of the kids. I just happened to be over an hour away speaking at a youth conference and I couldn't get back to yell at the person. So it was,
All right. Here's one. Stay at home moms talk about like their mom tribe. Right. And during the day, a lot of times stay at home moms, we try to plan like play dates or get togethers. So we have the company of other moms somewhat regularly. I have like a homeschool group of a bunch of Catholic moms and we get together every week. And it is like amazing to have like you might call it a mom tribe. But I feel like as a stay at home mom, that's easier for me. I feel like people are really, or stay-at-home moms anyways, are really hesitant to be friends with other dads. So I was wondering, like, is that really difficult for you being a stay-at-home dad? Like, I imagine you don't have a stay-at-home dad tribe.
I don't. I have one buddy who is also a stay-at-home dad, but he has he's recently also taken on some part-time and some freelance music work. He's really good at what he does, and so we don't get to see each other nearly as often. We used to try to get together regularly for little, I guess you'd call them dad dates or whatever.
That's funny.
If he's listening to this, we'll never meet again. No, I'm kidding. He's great.
So do other stay-at-home moms, like in your parish or in your area, are they a little standoffish?
I mean, they're not so much standoffish as they don't invite me to things. If there are things, as far as I know, nothing's happening, which is probably not true. There's probably something happening. The stay-at-home moms in our homeschool co-op are wonderfully welcoming to me.
Okay.
I don't know if they have little mom tribes within the group, but even one of them, who she's wonderful, she and I were talking recently, her husband came to visit the group a few weeks ago. He and I have known each other for a handful of years through ministry. He worked for the Archdiocese for a while. I worked in parish ministry, so we got to know each other through that. He's one of just my favorite people, and he showed up, and he and I just talked for like 10, 15 minutes, and then all of a sudden it was, okay, everybody's got to leave. It's things are changing. But that was, and I really like this group that we're in, but that was probably the most fun of anything that I've had since being a part of this, because we're both fathers, we're both Catholic, we're both, you know, obviously we're both men, we've worked for the Archdiocese, we both have similar beliefs outside of just faith-based things, so it's really easy for he and I to then click and bond. And some of the moms, actually, who've told me they listen to this, so thank you all. Some of the moms, they're the sweetest people in the world. I have no idea if they do anything outside of the group with one another or anything like that.
I understand it. So if we look around, like in our ministry work, if we look around at other Catholic mom bloggers who have like social media accounts, Facebook and Instagram, a lot of times they'll block any male follower. They'll just be like, nope, I'm a mom. I need to protect myself. I need to protect my kids. And I totally get it. Like, I totally 100% get it. But at the same time, like, I don't hold the same policy because I realize that, you know, there are guys out there like stay-at-home dads or even just faithful Catholic dads who really could benefit from inclusion in this community that seems to come more naturally to stay-at-home moms. So personally, like, I don't know any stay-at-home dads in my area, like in my geographical area. But, you know, if I did, I would hope and pray that I would be very welcoming. But like, I also get the hesitation because, you know, you don't want to like enter into something that could be scandalous or whatever. But
yeah.
So I just think that's a different dynamic between stay-at-home moms and dads.
Yeah, and I've had people, especially online, say something about, oh yeah, you know, we have a Catholic parents group at my parish, and my response is like, are dads welcome? And sometimes it's no dads have ever tried to get involved, so we don't even know yet.
We don't know.
other times it's been, you know, the response is, well, you know, we really want dads to start their own groups. And I get that, because, you know, you want, oh, I've had women tell me, yeah, I want to be able to talk about these personal things, and I don't feel comfortable talking about them with men around. I get that.
Yes.
But at the same time, that's one of the problems we're facing in the church right now is, yes, it's like, okay, we want the men to be involved. Okay, Knights of Columbus or Men's Club. Or
yeah.
And it's like, well, wait a second. What about the fact that fatherhood, you know, spiritual fatherhood aside, yeah, but, you know, fatherhood in the domestic church is something that a lot of people are struggling with, that there are a lot of problems out there related to not having strong fathers. And there's a local men's group, actually, I just spoke with, and they are phenomenal, and they're working on growing, and they want to expand beyond just this area. But I went in and gave a talk on how love is masculine. It's not exclusively, it's also feminine, but love is masculine. Yep. And I spoke to these guys about things like how women are inherently receptive. You can see that physically, you can see that emotionally. And for men, it's harder for us to maybe open ourselves up and say, I'm here to receive you, Lord. And so there are a lot of different challenges that men face, even in, you know, in the misconceptions of what love is, that society says it's this feminine thing. It's this all, you know, it's this.
Have you read Jesus the Bridegroom?
I have not.
I'm sorry for interrupting you. Maybe you can read that and we can talk about it someday, because I've been thinking about, like, you know, how Jesus is the bridegroom and the church is his bride. Like, that has got to be a really tough metaphor for dudes. Like, for me, I'm a woman, I'm his bride. Like, that's easy. But I imagine it's really hard for, like, is that hard for you as a guy to relate to Jesus the bridegroom, like, as his bride?
It is. And I actually brought that up in the talk, and the fact that even in the Eucharist is, you know, kind of a mirroring or a reflection of the marital, yeah, union, how we receive Christ's body into ours and then we have new life within us. That mirrors or reflects or whatever the marital act and pregnancy. And it's like, oh, but as a man.
Well, will you read this and maybe we can talk about it someday?
Yes, I will. Absolutely. But anyway, so I think
you have one more.
What's that?
Do you have another?
I do. I have one last one, and it's
okay.
That,
go for it.
I don't know what it's like to breastfeed. I've never been woken up, you know, periodically throughout the night to give my body in that way, to, you know, to deal with a child, to care for a child. I'm sure it's very difficult. But in being a dad, I've had the challenge of mom goes back to work after maternity leave is over, and I have a child who just wants mom and the comfort of mama's breast. And I'm like, hey, here's a bottle for you. It's her milk, but it's a bottle. And so
baby doesn't want that.
No, baby doesn't want that at all. And, you know, and so just the very idea that I've seen a fussy child where, you know, a woman will simply say, whether it's my wife or somebody else, say, this child needs, you know, to nurse for comfort. Boom, done. I can't,
yes,
do that.
Right.
I can't, you know, so like having that to me is a disadvantage in not being a woman in,
yes,
you know, in being a dad, yes, that I then have to comfort a child who only desires to be comforted in a way that I physically cannot provide.
So. Right. Even if you wanted to, that you can't comfort the baby that way.
Nope. Absolutely not.
No, that is a real challenge. And I totally get that because, you know, I've exclusively breastfed all of our children for the first however many months of their lives. And it is so easy, just like when you're like, what is wrong with this child? Like, will you just breastfeed? Okay, everything is better. Whatever was wrong, it is better. And I've seen my husband like struggle with that, like doesn't know what to do with the baby. It's like because you physically can't. So yeah, I totally get that. And especially, you know, with you being the stay-at-home dad and your wife working, like you don't really have a choice. She goes back to work and you have to, wow. So that's a real struggle.
But then again, she'll come home from work and I'll go to bed and she'll get up with the child in the middle of the night who needs to nurse. So, you know, I'm very blessed to
different
have a wife who, yeah.
Speaking of breastfeeding, did we ever tell our listeners the story of this, was it Saint Bernard of Clairvaux? And that set off this whole podcast.
I have no idea. I don't even remember that story. I just remember our conversation that set off the podcast. But can we talk about that one another time?
Let's talk about that sometime. Let's talk about that sometime because it is so funny.
Hey. All right. Well, I want to thank everybody for listening today, and thanks again to My Little Patron for sponsoring this episode. Join us next time for Things I'm Going to Teach My Kids and That I Didn't Learn Until I Was an Adult, Faith Edition. So make sure to subscribe to this podcast, share it with people, follow us on social media, comment, whatever you can do. We appreciate it. Sarah, where can people find you?
ToJesusSincerely.com and on Facebook and Instagram at ToJesusSincerely.
And you can find me at ChasteLove.org and at TheChasteLove on various social medias. So remember, a sink full of dishes is a sign that your family is well fed. It's also a sign that Disney movies lied to us about having an army of animal friends, and they're not going to do chores for us. And also, you're never alone.